Scripture readings, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and you'll see that on either side of me here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Good morning. It's a great day, beautiful day, good day to worship the Lord especially. I want to thank everybody for coming here, especially our visitors. Made the right decision today to worship with us, and we're certainly thankful for that. If you are visiting, right now we're in between preachers, and so we've kind of applied the next man up approach here. So I'm up next, so here I am. I was trying to think back when was the last time that I'd been up here, and I think I did not have any children at that time. So that would have been, well, Noah's 13, so that would have been over 13 years ago, and I also had hair. So a lot's changed since then, but hopefully this will be a great experience. I'd certainly appreciate Brother Stubbs' prayer. I had the same prayer today as well, that I would also remember everything that I had been preparing, so let's see if that happens. But I want to get back to the in-between preachers. I did see an email from the elders yesterday. So good news is that the Chase Byers decided to accept the opportunity to come here and preach. And I think he's going to be here in a couple months. And I think that's a great thing for this church. And certainly we've all been praying for that to happen, that we could find the next preacher. And we're excited. We're excited about that. We're excited for Chase and Rebecca and Little Sally to be here. I think they're going to be here in a couple months. But I certainly am happy and excited and thankful for the opportunity that I've been given to preach here today. So let's get into it. All right. So my lesson today is focused on thanking the Lord, or thank you, Lord. And, you know, in the world today, you know, saying thank you is a very common thing that we do. And we're taught from a very young age to say thank you. You know, I remember when I was growing up, birthday parties or any other parties where I received gifts, it was a love-hate relationship. I loved to get the gifts, but I could see in the corner of my eye, my mother was writing down everybody, what they gave us, and I knew what was coming next. I knew the next day she was going to make me sit down at the kitchen table and write out the thank you cards so that I would give it out. And if I didn't say enough about the thank you, she would return it back to me and say, do it over. And at the time, I didn't understand why that was important. But now, being at the age that I am, I understand that she was trying to impress upon me that it's important to say thank you. Also with my children, each day they come here, they go to Miss Kathy and they get gum. And every time I remind them, did you say thank you? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But what I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm trying to impress upon them that it's important to say thank you. If you were to say thank you 5 times a day on average, starting from the age of 5 to the age of 75, you'd have said thank you approximately 130,000 times. That's a lot. Martin Seligman, a leader in the field of positive psychology, wrote, "When we take time to notice the things that go right, it means we're getting a lot of little rewards throughout the day. It's a virtuous cycle that only makes you feel better and better. Every time you express or receive gratitude, your brain releases dopamine, making a recurring connection between the action of feeling good. It also helps you reduce stress reactions in your body." I want to focus on here that it's not only the person that you say thank you to, but it's also for you as well. And doesn't it make you feel good when you say thank you to somebody else? You see the result from that individual, that they're excited about that and that they're happy that you recognized it. But also for you, it's important for you to also get that sense as well. So we know that saying thank you is important, and providing thanksgiving is important. But spiritually also, in the Bible, the words thank you are mentioned 407 times. In the Old Testament alone, the concept of thanking God comes up 102 times. We can clearly see this is important also in our spiritual lives as well, and thanking God. And as we're taught as young children, as we teach our children how to pray, we typically focus on the thank yous, right? Thank you for the food. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your family. These are all things that we try to teach our children to say each and every day. But sometimes our prayer lives get really focused on the ask versus the thanks. Sometimes we're so focused on asking God to help us do something that when he does answer our prayers, sometimes we forget to say thank you. Sometimes that's not our focus. I'm asking you a question. Have you ever prayed and solely focused on thanking God? I remember I was part of a service one time. It was a prayer service. And the focus was, the theme was Thanksgiving. And as we went around and we all said prayers in the congregation, we only focused on Thanksgiving. I think that's important. It's important because that's what God's asked us to do. So today, for just a few moments, we're going to focus on some common things that we typically say thank you for and see if our thanks are indeed genuine. If we look in the Old Testament, Randy will like this. I went back to 1 Chronicles. We could see this is focused on David's song of thanks. And just to set some context here, David, you know, being anointed already the king of Judah, but he was also anointed the king of Israel and really united the kingdom. We can read that in 2 Samuel and 2 Samuel 2, 2 Samuel 5. We can also see before this happened that David, the Lord via David, conquers a city named Jebus, which was basically ran by the Jebusites. What's interesting about this city was it was renamed Jerusalem. Jerusalem is obviously a very important city. And before this, the Ark of the Covenant is being brought to Jerusalem, where David has assembled all of the kingdom for a great celebration while they bring the Ark in. And this song was written essentially to reflect the thanks that the Israelites had in this particular situation, because essentially the Israelites were starting to create roots. Building up Jerusalem, and we can see that that city is really important in history. So let's read this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give you the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you're few in number, indeed you very few, the strange and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from the day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His wonders among all peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise, blessed before the Lord of God of Israel from the everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Now, I know this was a long reading, but that was on purpose. If you notice here, this is not just a, thank you, God. This was really an elaborate way to say thank you. And I think specifically, right, the Lord is mentioned 15 times here, from ranging from singing, giving, thanking, and blessing. It's clear that the focus was on the Lord and not David. David was merely a vessel. The Lord did it all. And if we look here specifically in this song on what's detailed here, remember, if we look here in verses 12 and verses 15 through 18, it says, remember what God had done for the Israelites and the covenant which made with Abraham. Remember this. He protected the Israelites from the enemies. We can read many times where Israelites were outnumbered, but yet they were able to conquer nations that they should never have been able to conquer. The Lord should be feared above all gods. We know that there was many idols back then and many gods that people worshipped in those days. But we see here that we're supposed to acknowledge, and the Israelites were supposed to acknowledge, one Lord above all. Let the earth rejoice because the Lord reigns. The Lord is on his throne, and he's still on his throne today. The Lord is good and is of mercy, endures forever. God is with us. God is with us. And what's interesting about David, in Psalms 119 chapter, in verse 164, it says that David prayed seven times a day, thanking God for his righteous judgments. Do you pray that many times a day, thanking God for his righteous judgments? And what I found interesting about this is it didn't say he gave thanks for the righteous judgments that he liked. He gave thanks for the righteous judgments, period. Do we do that in our days? So we can see here clearly, David being a great example, that saying thanks to the Lord is very important. So let us get into one example. We'll start basic. We teach our kids and we say typically every day before a meal, thank you, God, for the food. Now we're coming up to the time of year where we probably eat too much. This is a Thanksgiving meal. And typically before we eat this feast, we say thank you, God, for the food. And we thank God for many other things. But sometimes after the prayer, do some of us sometimes grumble? Well, maybe the turkey's a little too dry. Or the potatoes are a little too clumpy. Or maybe somebody overcooked the pie that I loved. Is that really showing God the thanks for the food that we have? I don't think so. So our actions don't reflect our thanks. And the Israelites also had a challenge with this. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And we sat by the pots of meat when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather it a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel at the evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But we are that you complain against us. Also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared to the cloud. If you go back to verse 1, I think it's important to see the timing of this. It says in verse 1 that this was on the 15th day of the second month after they departed the land of Egypt. So not a lot of time has passed since they've crossed the Red Sea. So and the Israelites quickly forgot the power of God. The God that was able to split a sea and deliver them. 2 months later, a little over 2 months later, they're grumbling about food. Food. But nonetheless, God heard their complaints, and he gave them bread and meat. But Moses reminded them to bless God for the food. And here's the important piece, right? He reminded them to thank God for what he had given them. So we can see here the importance. They asked for something, not in the right way. They complained about it. And eventually God. And then finally here we can see they would rather go back to Egypt. Egypt, where they were slaves. But they said, hey, we sat by pots of meat, and when we ate full bread to full, how quickly did they forget? How quickly did they forget? So if we come back to this, you know, Thanksgiving, we have more food than we can ever have. What about the people in the world that don't have a lot of food? People that maybe they have one meal a day, maybe not even that. What do you think their prayers are to God about thanking God for the food? Do you think they're a little bit more focused than ours are? Do you think they're grumbling about the food that they get? I don't think so. So I ask you the question here. Can you do this? Are you focused on this? Are you genuinely thankful for what God's blessed you with in terms of food? Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. We should be thankful for whatever God blesses us with. We shouldn't grumble about it. If we say thank you for our food, we should mean it. Thank you, Lord, for our abundant blessings. I want to focus on the word abundant, because I think in our society, we always talk about that God has blessed us more than we can ever need, and that's true. I don't think anybody in here is struggling to find a meal or have clothes or a place to live. We are truly a blessed nation. So some of the kids in here are saying, oh, the preacher's going to talk about Disney World. This is great. So I had the opportunity to, Laura and I took our kids to Disney World a few months ago. And I want to give you some of my perspective on that experience. Greatest, happiest place on earth. I know Jessica believes that completely. But I think if you think about a place like Disney World, it's actually a good place to go to see a reflection of society. Because you have all sorts of people there coming from all various locations, and they all kind of come together in this place where they commingle for a week or whatever, 5 days, and the experience is interesting. You know, so when we were there, right, it was a lot of concerning things, and I think it really is a reflection of our society. The day before we went to Magic Kingdom, there was literally a fight between two families. A literal fight. Like, people went to the hospital, people had to go to jail, people were kicked out of Disney World for the rest of their lives. And you're thinking about this, and there's actually videos of this. Little children watching their mom and dad fight other people. And you know what that was over? A place in a line. A place in a line. That's the society that we live in. Another thing I saw and reflected upon was I think there should be such a thing called parent abuse. I mean, there were children that were physically abusing their parents. Yelling at them, screaming at them, hitting them. Is that how we're supposed to raise our children? What does that say about our society? We saw families bicker with each other. We were walking out of a park and there was a family together yelling at each other. Police had to get engaged. This is the happiest place on the earth. I don't know. I'm not seeing it. But this is the reflection of our society. We live in a society that feels entitled. I'm entitled to be in front of you in that line. I'm entitled to do whatever I want because I am who I am. That's not how God wants us to live. If we look at this parable here in Luke, the 12th chapter. Then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of the certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build a greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, you have made many goods. You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those whose will those be things? Those things be which you have provided. So is he who lays up the treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Let's focus on this. If you look in verse 17, he says, my crops. Verse 18, he says, my barns. Verse 18, he says, my surplus. This is about the rich man. He's not thanking God for his blessings. In some ways, he had more than he needed. What does he do? He tries to build bigger barns. And if you think about it in our society today, there's this concept of generational wealth. I don't know if you've ever heard about this. I don't think anybody here is going to have to worry about that. But there's this concept that you need to build up wealth for your generations to come. Is that really what God wants us to do with the blessings that he's given us? Is to build up wealth for the generations to come? Or does he want us to use this to better his kingdom? To serve others? To help others? Brothers and sisters, that's not the society we live in. In fact, we talk about the American dream. And about how if you come to America, you can prosper, you can get a good job, and you can have a great life, and those things are all good. But if we're not careful, that can become a spiritual nightmare. Because we focus on the wrong things. We focus on the things that are not going to last, just like the barns and all these things that the rich man was trying to develop and build up. And what did it cost this rich man? His soul. And just like the rich man, if that's our focus in life, that's what we'll lose as well. So this is a picture of India. This is a real picture of India. I was in India about a little over a month ago. And I had an opportunity to meet about 60 people that are in my team. And, you know, they have a very difficult life. And sometimes we don't understand that where we live. That there are people in the world that have far less than we do. Far less. And you know what these people were asking me in the interviews and the one-on-ones that I was doing? Jeremy, I would love just to visit the United States. I would just love to see what it's like. And you know, after I was preparing for this lesson, I'm not sure that would be good. I'm not sure this is a country that's, in its day and age, it's a nice place to visit. Now, that's terrible. But they seem to be more focused on the right things. They seem to be focused on family because they don't have a lot. They're just trying to survive. Some of these people's houses don't even have doors. What does that say for us? What does that say for us, where we have far more than we ever need? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadows of turning. Let us remember where all these great blessings come from in abundance. Thank God for these. Thank God for these things that you've gotten. God is going to hold us at a higher level based on the things that he's blessed us with. And if we don't use these things in the correct way, in the correct manner, as God sees it, we're going to be judged for that. Thank you, Lord, for our family. So I told my kids, I said, your dad's preaching today, so make sure there's a surprise. There's a surprise in the lesson. I want you to tell me when the surprise was. So this is the surprise. And Kellen always likes to make weird faces when we take pictures. Be careful, Kellen, because I could always put it in a lesson in the future and embarrass you. But this was actually when we were at Disney World. And, you know, Laura and I have been blessed with four kids. Our kids range from 13 to 5. Madison's birthday is tomorrow. And we have lots of different challenges. And the spectrum is very wide, coming from Noah to Madison. And some days, I'll be quite honest with you, it's a challenge. And sometimes it's hard for me to say thank you. what I found, though, is I've never met a set of parents that have said they've regretted being a mother or father. And yes, we all have bad days. We all have challenging days. We all have days when you come home and somebody's crying. Maybe you. But at the end of the day, it's still worth the effort, right? It's still worth the effort. And we see here in Psalms, the 127th chapter, "Behold, children, our heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of the warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." So, you know, people ask me, "Jeremy, did you ever plan to have four kids?" Quick response is no. But God's plan for me was to have four kids. God's plan for me was to have four kids. And that's important to understand, right? It's not our plan. It's God's plan. It's God's plan for us. But have you ever known somebody? I know there's people in the audience today that have struggled to start a family. We know people like that, right? It's tough. It's tough when things don't go the way you expect it to go and you can't get started. You feel lost. But a focus on the prayer, right? The prayers that those individuals might have. Praying for them to be able to start a family. And then when something happens, whether it be your own child or through the blessing of adoption or whatever it may be, think about the prayers of thanks that those individuals have. They've tried so hard to start a family. Much harder than some of us have. I felt for a certain few years, I looked at Laura, and 9 months later, we had an extra kid. It was quite amazing. But some people, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. But I want to focus on that their prayers are very much focused. Do you think the prayers regarding the blessing of family are as thoughtful and genuine as a couple has been struggling to start a family? Why not? Are you truly thankful? We look at Sarai and Abram. Now, Sarai and Abram's wife has been born of no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded to the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Sarah became impatient. She took things into her own hands and kept them in God's hands. And this creates quite a mess for Sarai and Abram and Hagar. But we can see here that eventually God's plan was unfolded. And Sarah gave thanks at the age of 90. So sometimes we need to be patient. But what's most important here is When God's plan does unfold, whatever it may be, as it pertains to your family, be thankful to God. When we worshiped in Connecticut, we knew a family, they had a tragic loss of their son in a hiking accident, just fell over dead. It was terrible. And they had adopted two children, Joey and Autumn. And great, great, great kids, grew up. And we saw just a few weeks ago that Joey passed away. Joey had a tragic accident. And I was thinking about the Rich and Lisa, the parents. How terrible it must be for them. Two children died tragically. How terrible that is. But knowing Rich and Lisa, I believe it, and I know that their faith in the Lord wouldn't have wavered. And I know that they would have been still thankful for the time that they had with their children. And nobody ever thinks or believes that your children might die before you as parents. But it can happen. It could happen. So thank the Lord for your family, because it truly is a blessing. Next one here, the next example or item I want to focus on is thank you, Lord, for Jesus. If we go to Romans, the third chapter, starting in verse 21, it reads, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." In the last three examples, there was a compare and contrast, right? There was, hey, perhaps you have more than you ever needed, whether it be food, abundance and blessings, or family. And then we contrasted that with individuals that did not. In this case, we're all the same. There's no difference here. If we read here in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all are in the same position. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Hindu, it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're a Catholic, it doesn't matter if you're an agnostic. We're all the same under God's eyes. But we can see here that through God's grace and the sacrifice of his son Jesus, that gave us the opportunity to be saved. And God demonstrated his patience. In verse 25, he says that. His righteousness became, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. At any point in time, God could have said, "You know what? This experiment is over. This is not going to work out. I'm done." But he's been patient with us. And do we think, a lot of times we say in our daily prayers, "Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus." But are we really thankful for that? Are we genuinely thankful for that? It's an important question to ask. And it's one that we should reflect upon certainly daily. So in summary, hopefully you learned something here today. Do your actions in life reflect your thanks to God? Are you rejoicing? Remember the example of David. He prayed 7 times a day for God's righteous judgments. Do you do that? Do you focus on that, on the praying for God's righteous judgments? In the 17th verse, how often do you pray? Do you pray once a day, twice a day, once a week, once a month, once a year? Do you only pray for meals? I would encourage you to focus some of your prayers purely on Thanksgiving, because I think it will give you a different perspective on all the many things that God has blessed you with. Do you thank God for all the things, good or bad? When I was driving, back from Chicago the other day, and the a song by Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers, I'm sure some of you have heard it. I thought it was a very interesting song. And really the theme of the song is this individual's with his wife, and they go to a football game on a Friday night, and he runs into somebody that he dated in his past, and at the time he thought that that individual was the one for that for him. And he thought that they would get married and start a life, and that didn't happen. He went a different direction, she went a different direction, but they reconnected and they talked about old times. And really what the gist of the objective of this song is, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Sometimes we ask for something, God doesn't give it to us. And then as life progresses, we find out that that was probably the best thing for us in all cases. Do we pray and thank God for having that perspective on us and thank God for unanswered prayers? It's important. I think that when that song came on, it was it's certainly something that I reflected upon. So at this time, do you thank God for Jesus? We've all sinned, as we talked about. We all started in the same state. If you haven't done anything about your sin, then this is the perfect time. We can baptize you. And you can start your life renewed as a Christian. Or perhaps you've fallen back in sin. And you want to ask for our help to get you back on track. We can help you there as well. If you're subject in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing.